morning, we're beginning a series called Ask the Pastor. You've been getting the emails. You've been sending in dozens of questions, all kinds of questions. And so I had the choice to make. Do we make this a two-year study? Or do we stick to the 4 or 5 weeks and we just kind of find certain questions and answer certain questions? So I've decided to go that route. We're not going to make it a two-year study. We're going to have about 4 or 5 weeks where we're going to be answering and looking at specific questions. And I've really chosen those few questions that, when answered, should help us as a church understand more of who we are, of what we believe, about our style, about our DNA, really just pretty much who we are and why we are who we are. So I've chosen questions that are going to really get to the heart of Evident Life Church. Some of you have been here for years. Well, 2.5 years, that's how old we are. Some of you have been here for 2.5 years. Others of you, this is your first time, or maybe you've been here two and a half weeks or months. But we're going to answer some questions that you have so that we can better understand who we are. You know, I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking about how having vision is so important. God's Word says, you know, without vision, the people perish. Without knowing who you are and what you're called to, you perish. It's just hard to make it. You flounder. You don't have an identity or a purpose. And so I'm believing that this is going to help us, these next 4 or 5 weeks are going to help us get a clearer vision of who God has called us to be and created us to be here at Evident Life Church. So this morning, we're going to jump right into the deep end. We're going to go into an arena that many would classify as controversial. And everyone's like, oh, this is a good morning to be at church. Why is it that people like controversy? I don't, personally. I don't really like controversy, but some people would classify the question that we're going to answer this morning as controversial. Our question this morning is, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church today? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church today? As most of you, I'm sure, already know, Evident Life Church is a Spirit-filled church. We call ourselves a Spirit-filled body of believers. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a church that's Spirit-filled? What classifies a church as Spirit-filled? Well, I came up with just 3 things that help classify a church as being Spirit-filled. First of all, the church needs to know the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be Spirit-filled, you need to know who the Holy Spirit is. The second thing that I believe has got to be present in a church that is Spirit-filled is that church must know how the Holy Spirit interacts with us. How does the Holy Spirit interact with the church? How does the Holy Spirit do life and ministry in and through the church? The third component that I think is really important if we're to be a Spirit-filled body of believers is that we must actively use and exercise the spiritual gifts, both in our individual lives and in our corporate lives as a body of Christ. I know for some of you this topic may be review. For others, maybe this is going to be the first time you've heard some of these things taught, some of these scriptures taught through and discussed. But we got to make sure we understand this. This is an important topic because it speaks to a significant part of how we, as God's people, interact with Him. So let's begin. Let's jump right into that first question. Who is the Holy Spirit? First point, the Holy Spirit is God with us. The Holy Spirit is God with us. He is God alive and active in our lives. The Holy Spirit is God with us. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says this. Again, John 16, 7. Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the Counselor," and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not a divine influence. He's not a ghost. He's not a concept. He's definitely not a magic wand. He's none of those things. The Holy Spirit is God with us. Let's think about this. God the Father is sitting on His throne in heaven, right? That's where He is. He's on His throne in heaven. Jesus Christ walked this earth for a period of time. Became a man. Walked this earth. Ministered on this earth. Died. Was resurrected. Has a glorified, resurrected body now. And He is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now, making intercession for us. He hears our prayers, and He talks to God about us. He goes to bat for us, so to speak, because He loves us and He gave His life for us. The Holy Spirit, now He is God with us. The Holy Spirit is God right here in us. And with us, alive and active, moving around us. The Holy Spirit is in this room right now. Right now, He is with us. God with us. He is God interacting with us on a daily basis. So, if you want more of God, if you want to experience the presence of God in your life, if you want God to show up in your situation and in your circumstance and in your life, then you want the Holy Spirit. If you want to experience God more, then you want more of the Holy Spirit. Then you want to know the Holy Spirit more. You want to experience more of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is God with us. A lot of people have this understanding that it's still Jesus with us right here. Like we talk about Jesus being in our heart. Well, Jesus is in our heart because we love Him. Just like my wife is in my heart because I love her. Jesus is in my heart because I have a place in my heart for Him, a love for Him, a deep affection for Him. But the actual physical place where Jesus is right now is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The actual physical place where God is, the Holy Spirit God, is right here with us. Moving in us, among us, around us, and through us. And a significant part of how the Holy Spirit interacts with us is that the Holy Spirit has given us gifts. The Holy Spirit has given the church spiritual gifts that are designed to build up the body of Christ and to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. Why? So that God can work in us and through us. So, let's just backtrack here. I'm firing pretty fast. In 30 minutes, we're going to get the whole message here. So, we've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God with us. And so, if we want more of God, we want more of the Holy Spirit. And if we want more of God, we want to know how to interact with Him. We want to really do life with God. And so we need to understand how God does life with us and how He interacts with us. And the Word of God tells us that He does that through gifts that He's given us. Different gifts that help us understand Him more, that help us be used by Him, that help us experience Him, that help us bring God to the rest of the world. So the Holy Spirit has given us gifts. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul has this to say about the spiritual gifts. He says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." In regards to spiritual gifts, on the topic of spiritual gifts, church, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand the importance of of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. So we need to be a church that's familiar with these gifts to the point that we're actually operating in them. So what are the spiritual gifts? Let's review that. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another the interpretation of the tongues. Then he says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. All of these. Some of these? No. All of these gifts that the Holy Spirit has are for us, for the church today. And Jesus says in John 16, verses 14 and 15, he said that the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me. This is Jesus talking. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And he says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from me what is mine and make it known to you. What Jesus is saying here is he's saying, look, everything that I have comes from the Father. All the things that I understand, all the things that I know, all the things that I've been doing, as I've been walking on the earth, as I've been ministering to people, as I've been teaching the gospel, as I've been healing people, as I've been bringing the kingdom, all of this stuff was made known to me by the Father, and I'm telling the Holy Spirit to make it known to you now, so that you will know all of these things that I've known. So that you can truly be me to the world. Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of God and into the power of God. All of it. He will make known to us all of those things that the Father has given Him. And He says He's going to do it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give us the gifts of wisdom and knowledge so that we can understand truth. But the Holy Spirit will also give us the other spiritual gifts that Jesus Himself exercised when He walked on this earth. Do we realize, do we remember that Jesus was Spirit-filled when He walked on this earth? Jesus didn't launch into His ministry until after the Holy Spirit descended upon Him, which was right after He came out of the water of baptism. The Holy Spirit came down upon Him as a dove. He was filled with power from His heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, and His earthly ministry was launched. That's when He started preaching. That's when He started doing miracles. That's when we saw the kingdom of God coming just like exponentially through His life. It was after the Holy Spirit came and descended and fell upon Him. And so He wants the church to also experience what He experienced and be filled with what He was filled with so that the church can do what He did. The whole church can do what He did. So He wants us to have the gifts of wisdom and knowledge so that we understand truth. But He also understands and deeply desires that we would be people that have the other spiritual gifts so that we can walk in power and bring the kingdom. Those gifts of miraculous powers, the gifts of healing and of prophecy, of tongues, of distinguishing between spirits. So that we can be a people who walk the way He walked. And minister the way that He ministered. Isn't that exciting? It's extremely exciting. We must be operating in these gifts if we are truly to be Christ to the world. We're told that we're little Christ, Christians, and we're supposed to be Jesus to the world, right? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and He ministered out of that. How much more do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we too would minister out of that? If we're going to bring to this world what Jesus brought to this world, we need what Jesus had. And that's the filling from the Holy Spirit. The fullness of God in Him as a man. I know it gets hard to dissect all of this. He's Jesus. He's God. Why does He need the Holy Spirit, another part of the Trinity, to come and be part of it? If He's already God, well, He is the Son. He is God, but He's also fully man. He's fully God, fully man. And He's demonstrating to us how things work in God's economy. So is Jesus, the Son of God, fully man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and His ministry was pretty awesome. I know that's an understatement. You know, we must be operating in these gifts if we are to show the real Jesus to the world. The victorious, powerful, alive Jesus to the world. I will submit to you right now, that's what this generation is looking for. This generation is looking for truth, yes. We've got to bring truth, yes. But this generation is looking for Jesus. They're looking for the fullness of Jesus on this earth. They're looking for wisdom and revelation, and they're looking for power. They're looking for a God who can come and just dramatically change things, heal things, restore things, move in power. That's how Jesus ministered. That's how the early church ministered. That's what the world has always looked for. And so if we're going to minister the way Jesus ministered, we need to be people filled with the Holy Spirit in relationship with God Himself, who is with us, the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 12. Jesus tells us, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. Woo! Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. And then He says something even crazier. He will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. Because I'm leaving you. And remember, what did He say? It's good that I'm leaving because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And He's going to make all things known to you and deposit within you all the things that were made known to Me from My Father. So He's saying, this is all good. I'm leaving. It's good. The Holy Spirit's coming. It's good. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's good. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to come upon you as a church. It's good. You're going to do the things I've been doing, but you're going to even go way beyond that. You're going to do even greater things. He sent the Holy Spirit so the church could do greater things. This is why Jesus said to the church when He was leaving, He told the church, He didn't say, okay, as soon as I go up to be at the right hand of the Father, I want you to get busy with church business. I want you to start putting together programs. I want you to start meeting. I want a worship team put together. I want to see an outreach team. You know, I want a prayer team put together. I want you guys to take water out to the poor. I want you guys to have all these programs and get busy with church business. It's not what He told the church. He said, look, when I go, you all need to sit and wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't make a move until the Holy Spirit comes. As a church, we've got to remember that. We can't rush off into ministry, off into religious things, off into things that seem noble without waiting on God. Without being filled with God. Without doing it because God is moving us to do it. Not just because it sounds good. Because it sounded good at that time just to go start telling people about Jesus. But Jesus said, don't do it. Go wait in the upper room. Hang out together. Pray. And wait for the Holy Spirit. And so the church responded. They obeyed Christ. They waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And guess what happened? The Holy Spirit came. Yes. He came because God is faithful. He's faithful. Jesus went to the right hand of the Father, and He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, blew the doors off of that upper room, came as tongues of fire, set upon the church, empowered the church, and the church was filled with the Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They then walked out of that upper room into the world, full of power, full of the power of God, full of the presence of God, and they changed the world. Everything changed. That same day, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in them and through them, 3,000 people came to Christ because they were blown away. What has happened to these people? What is going on? What are these words coming out of their mouth? They're touching people and they're being healed. Things are happening. Whoa! I want a piece of that. I want a piece of that. 3,000 people raised their hands and said, yes. And they all got dunked in the water that same day. They didn't go home and change, worry about an extra set of clothes. Man, they wanted God because they saw God moving in power. So even greater things happened on that day of Pentecost. 3,000 people? That's greater, greater, greater things. God has that for the church today. He has that for a church that says yes to Him and is willing to wait on Him and then allow Him to fill them and move in them and through them. We can see this kind of stuff today. Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit so that the church would be confused. He didn't send the Holy Spirit so the church would be powerless or divided. He didn't send the Holy Spirit so that the body of Christ would be divided. Unfortunately, it seems to be one of the most divisive elements in the church is the Holy Spirit. No, you see, He sent the Holy Spirit so the church would be united in truth and operating in power. Let me get to my third point. Third point is this. We're called to actively exercise these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. Actively exercise them. Not just talk about them. Not just teach about them. But actively exercise them. Make them part of our lives. See, the early church of Acts was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they operated in the fullness and out of the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit and out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are for the church. Yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These gifts are for the church yesterday, today, and forever. They've not ceased. Just as prayer has not ceased, just as the Bible has not ceased, the gifts of the Holy Spirit have not ceased. Prophecy has not ceased. Tongues have not ceased. Healing has not ceased. Miraculous powers have not ceased. In fact, this is how the church will continue to grow. It's by allowing the fullness of God to have its way with us. When we allow God to move, the church will grow. When the church actively exercises the spiritual gifts and shares the gospel out of the power and presence of God, the church is going to grow. We can't decide on our own what ingredients we want in the church. But I fear sometimes we do that. Speaking as the global church here. It'd be like somebody making chocolate chip cookies and saying, you know what? I love chocolate chip cookies. I'm going to make them. I'm going to feed them to my children. I'm going to set them out for the neighbors just to be kind and nice. But you know what? That sugar, that can be really bad for you. And there's some controversy around sugar of whether it's healthy for you or not. So I'm just going to leave the sugar out. Everything else in, but I'm going to leave the sugar out. Who would want that cookie? I don't want that cookie. Yeah. Yuck. That cookie wouldn't have the same effect without the sugar. Wouldn't be effective at putting a smile on a kid's face, would it? No. Think about this. You know, restored a car about a year and a half ago with my boys. And you know, we put everything together, and you're building the car, you're putting it together, you got all the pieces, it's looking great, you get it all painted up, that's when it starts to like, wow, then you put those nice rims on it, so it looks like a real race car and everything, and you're thinking, this is awesome! But if you leave the engine out, what good is it? It's going to sit in your garage, it's not going to take you anywhere, it's not going to do anything, it's useless. Sometimes I grieve because I see that as the body of Christ, we'll leave ingredients that God has for us out of our church, out of our lives, and think that, oh well, God's going to still move the same way. I'm just taking this one piece out because it's a little controversial, or, you know, it's some people might have a problem with this piece or that piece, and so we're just going to remove these things. Yeah, they're in the Word of God, but we're just going to take them out. God will understand, and I'm sure everything will operate the same way. The Apostle Paul has clearly instructed the church to actively exercise the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's plain to see in God's Word. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, follow the way of love. This is interesting. It's coming to me even right now. Follow the way of love. And then he's going to talk about operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see how he's equating those two? How he's bringing those two together? That operating in the gifts of the Spirit and including them in our lives and in our gatherings is a form of love, is associated with love. That's awesome. Just hit me right now. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire. He didn't say just tolerate them. Follow the way of love and tolerate the spiritual gifts. Tolerate the presence of the Holy Spirit. No, he said follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And he goes through all through chapter 14 and he tells why prophecy is so important in the gathering of the saints. It's because that's the Word of God very clearly going in the language of the people in the room so that they can understand and it can minister to the large numbers of people all at once. But I want to point out, I challenge you, look at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and in no way does he diminish any of the other spiritual gifts. He just says, when you gather together in a big group, the gift of prophecy, that's a pretty awesome gift because everyone can hear it at the same time and understand it. And it can affect a lot of people. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:26, the Apostle Paul says, what then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Are we coming together right now? When you come together, when you gather together as the people of God, everyone... Just the pastor? Just the worship leader? Just the people that are super spiritual? No, everyone. Every single person in the body of Christ has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. He's reminding us that the Holy Spirit's given these things to all of us, each one of us. And when we come together as the body of Christ, each one of us has something to bring. Maybe it's in front of the whole congregation. Maybe it's just to that one person where you just speak that word of encouragement over their lives as they walk through the door. Every one of you has something, a gift that the Holy Spirit has put in you to be useful when you come together as the church. And then he continues, all of these gifts, all these things that the Holy Spirit is putting into you so that you can let flow out of you to bless others, all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. Amen. They must be done. Let me talk to you about this importance of us coming to church. We live in a culture in America that's a me culture. What can I get out of something? What's it going to do for me? And it's coming to the church. And so we have people that actually go to church because what's it going to do for me? I'm looking for a blessing. I want it to give me goosebumps. What can church do for me today? That's not biblical Christianity. That's not what the gathering of the saints is all about. It's not a spectator sport. It's not like going to a movie and you leave church and you go, oh yeah, that was good. Yeah, the worship was good. They sang the songs I liked. You know, the pastor was pretty funny today. Yeah, church was good today. I don't have this in my notes. I'm just feeling like I'm supposed to share this right now. It's a heavy place in my heart. Because when we mature into a church that understands that God has given each one of us a gift, He's deposited something within us that we have the privilege and the responsibility then to share with somebody else. We have the privilege and the opportunity to minister that thing that God has placed in us, minister that to somebody else, and we start understanding our place, each one of us, in the body of Christ. It goes to a whole nother level. And the church becomes a place of so much life and so much love and so much healing and so much power, because we're all being the church. We're coming to church not to be blessed, but to bless others. And in that, we will be blessed, because everyone else is coming to church to bless others. You know what? You're going to have your weeks where people are going to come up to you and your socks will be blessed off. How many of you have experienced that already? Yes. Yes. It's a different mindset. It's a biblical mindset to what church is all about. It's an exciting way to live. I'm seeing it happen here in our church. I'm watching it happen, and it's blessing everyone. It's good. God is pleased with it. So good job. Keep going. Keep pressing into that. Eagerly desire it. Don't hide the gifts. Don't be afraid or ashamed of them. In 1 Corinthians 14:39-40, Paul continues and he says, "Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly manner." Why is the Holy Spirit, and why are His gifts so controversial and divisive? I'm sure it saddens the heart of God. He didn't come to divide. He came to unite and bring together. I believe that there's so much controversy around the Holy Spirit because He is the actual manifest presence of God. That's why there's controversy surrounding the Holy Spirit and His gifts and how He moves. The Holy Spirit is God with us, and the possibility and the reality of God being alive and powerful can be overwhelming, can be scary. And for some, it can be offensive. It's one thing to believe that God exists. It's quite another thing to surrender our lives to Him and allow Him to have His way with us. To actually show up and move in His way, on His terms, the way He wants to do it. To let Him truly be God. And the reason is, in general, people like to feel like they're in control, right? Don't you like to feel like you have everything taken care of and you're on top of everything and you're in control and you know what's coming next and you've created this nice little nest of comfort around your life, this little bubble where everything is predictable, everything is manageable, everything feels good, you know what's coming around the corner, no surprises. We like to feel like we're in control. But when God really shows up and He moves, we feel out of control. Right? Is that so bad? We feel uncomfortable then. So I think it comes down to this. We've got to ask ourselves the question, do we really want God to be in control of our lives? Of our families, of our church? Do we? Do we really want God to show up and change things? If the answer is yes, then we want the Holy Spirit and we want His gifts. Bottom line, if you want God to show up and be in control of your life, then you want the Holy Spirit, who is Emmanuel, God with us. If the answer is yes, that you really want God to show up and change things, then you want the fullness of all that He has for us. No matter how uncomfortable it might be, no matter how much it may initially offend our minds or even embarrass us, it won't matter Because God's here. Because God's showing up. And I'm not going to worry about what my neighbor thinks. I'm not going to worry about what my friend who goes to the other church thinks. I'm not going to worry about the fact that, you know what, I had a guest come to church and God showed up and did some miraculous stuff and it seems crazy and foolish. That might be exactly what that person needed to see. They needed to see God alive and active and moving in somebody's life. But we've put on these thoughts and these minds that have been tainted by the world to think, oh no, we've got to create this comfortable place for people to come that we've controlled, that we are the masters of. God says, let me be God. Be the church and let me be God. Let me move in you and through you. Don't be embarrassed by me. Let me be God. Let me show up and you will be blessed. You know, when I was putting this together, I thought about Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. Right? Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. And when he was God with us walking on this earth, did people embrace him for the most part? No. The religious people in particular, the church of the time, couldn't stand him. They were offended by him. They were afraid of him. He was out of their box. He was out of their comfort zone, and they rejected him. They pushed God with us, Emmanuel, away and out of their presence. And so, they missed him. The Holy Spirit is God with us now. As leaders here at Evident Life Church, as elders, we talk about this frequently. We talk about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. What is God going to do? Do we need to change anything? Do we need to control anything? What do we need to do? How do we need to keep order? We talk about this topic often. And as leadership, we have decided that we cannot put God in a box. Oh, we're going to hear the word and we're going to have order in our gatherings. Because if there's no order, then the Holy Spirit isn't going to be able to minister to people because it's just craziness. No. The Holy Spirit isn't out of control craziness. That's not God. God's in control, and when he's in control, things are going to happen in a very orderly way. But things are going to happen. So as a leadership team at Evident Life Church, we approach this whole topic of the Holy Spirit and his gifts with open arms. We have to. There's no option. We choose to eagerly desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. If God has it for us, we want it. That's our feeling. If God has it for the church, we want it. We don't want to miss it. In fact, we've talked about it. How in the world can we stand before the living God on that appointed day? How could we bear to hear those words? Why did you keep me out of the church? We couldn't bear to hear those words. We can't let that happen. Why did you put me in a box? Why did you control me? Why did you keep me from the body of Christ? Why were you afraid of me? Why were you concerned about what others thought? Why weren't you concerned about me? As leaders, we cannot let that happen. It's unthinkable. And I want to challenge you, because each one of you are a leader in some way. You're the leader in your life. You will stand before God on how you let God really come into your life and move in your life. If you're a parent, you're a leader of your family. Are you allowing God to fully move in your family? If you're part of the body of Christ, you do have leadership and influence in the body. We've got to steward that properly. We've got to let God be in control. Let God be God. Let him move. Encourage the Holy Spirit to move in fullness and encourage the use of his gifts. We can't allow fear or political church correctness or anything else to cause us to put God in a box. You know, when we put God in a box, we start changing the ingredients in church and everything, we actually are creating a God in our own image. We're creating a God that we're comfortable with, and we're violating the second of the Ten Commandments. That's what we're doing. And we're missing God. We're creating our own God. when we say, this is what I'm, this is how I want God to be in my life. This is how I will be comfortable with God. And so this is what I'm going to choose and push away. I'm going to accept this and push that away. We're creating a different God. Lord, help us not do that. Help us be open to who you are and let you move fully in our lives, in our families, and in our church. We must be people who trust God, believe God, and allow God to work in our lives in whatever way he decides. So we're going to continue to eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit here in this congregation. The gifts of prophecy, of tongues, of healing, of miracles. We want more. We want more of God. We're going to continue to purposely make space for these gifts and for his presence in our gatherings. We're going to do it in an orderly manner, but we're going to do it. How many of you have been blessed by our time that we're setting aside for words of prophecy, for words from the Lord? How many of you have personally been blessed by the words that God has brought forth to our congregation in those times? As we set aside time for God to be God and let him move and speak to us. Well, we want more of that. More prophecy, more words of knowledge, more encouragement for the body. But we're seeking God as leaders in this church, earnestly desiring God to show us how to orderly and properly include the other gifts that he has for this congregation in our gatherings, whether it's a prayer gathering or a Sunday morning gathering or a life group gathering. We want God to move. We want to make space for him. We want to make sure that there are no roadblocks being put up to God moving. And we will be Spirit-led people who listen to the Holy Spirit and look to his word as God is moving to ensure that there's order, to ensure things are done in the right way, to test the Spirit, to make sure that this is edifying and building up the body of Christ. We will do that. But just because sometimes things get a little messy when we're out of control, doesn't mean we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Doesn't mean we're just going to put God in a box. Can God help us with this? Is God going to help guide us through this? Is this his church? It is. If he has these gifts for us, and if they're good, and if we're willing to receive them, I trust God that he will roll it out in just the right way. Amen. So let's just sing and let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. If you would all stand up. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. As a church, we say we want you. We desire you. We need you. We want more of you. You are God with us. Lord, forgive us for those times when we have given you the stiff arm. Forgive us for those times when we've allowed fear or offense or embarrassment, whatever it might be, to push you away or to box you in or to box you out. God, forgive us. Have mercy on us. And come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill our lives, fill our families, fill our church, oh God. We need more of you. You're the answer. We want more of you, God. Come, Holy Spirit.